is essentially to speak about children and adults. Especially because I realize the way the calendar comes out, I don't usually like to speak about it too much, because then you guys get tired of it. They lose. But next week, we have 1 week before Rosh Hashanah, and then 1 week to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, I think, is on a Monday, right? So that means that there's no... There's only two more of us, that's it. So I think we have to speak about it. Okay. Anyway, before we start, why is it important to start working on tshuva now? You know, obviously Chazal seems to say it's supposed to start in the beginning of Adol. Okay, we don't do the beginning of Adol. They do too much. Guys will get, by the time Rosh Hashanah comes, they'll be ready. Print down. But at least now already we hope. Why can't you wait till Rosh Hashanah, or better yet, wait till Yom Kippur? I don't know if that's really the place to start, but let's start with that question. So there are... The question is... sorry. Why is there an Indian? Apparently we see from Chazal and from the Svarim and the Musa Svarim that a person should start working on Tshuva during Elul. Why can't the guy say, it's in the Yom HaDin, it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. That's when I get the most inspired. And then come Yom Kippur, I get so inspired. So I'll work on Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I have to do it now. What's the rush? And by the time I do it now, by the time Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur comes, then, it'll fizzle out already. I don't know. Why can't I wait till they have Nisan HaTokef? It's so inspiring. Rabbi Naim is Nisan HaTokef, right? It's so inspiring. Then I can do my tshuva. Okay. That's the question. So there's probably many, many answers. I'm sorry, Rabbi Mendel's, what was Rabbi Mendel's doing? It's called Nidre. Okay. Still called Nidre, right? Okay. Anyway. I give equal billing. So there are probably a lot of answers, but there are three answers that I know offhand. The first answer, Rav Itzela says in the Or Yisrael in the Koch Beor, I don't fully understand it, but he says it to Farish. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges this world just like a Basar Adam would judge. So that's a chesed for us, because we can't relate to anything else. So that's why really HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need a Yom HaDin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can keep a running cheshbon. Doesn't need a special day. But we could relate to that. So we need a Basar Adam, we need a special day. So Hashem has a special day. Right? Everything he says where Hashem judges the world is the way a Basar Adam would judge the world. So he says a Basar Adam, if he's judging a lot of people and they're all asking him for forgiveness, the minigah item is that the first person, okay, second person, okay, but as more and more people start asking you forgiveness, you begin to say, I've had it already, enough is enough, and you say no. So he says, Hashem, since he runs his din the same as Basar Adam, the first person who asks him for forgiveness gets much more midas harachmim than the millionth person. Why that should be, I don't know. Is it that's the way it is? That's how Hashem runs the world. It's fair, because everyone knows that that's the way it is. You want to come first, first comes first. So he says, he bases it on a Mishnah, that the Mishnah says it's like a single line, and whoever gets in line first goes first. So he says that a person who does tshuva earlier, that's how you get on line first. And if you get online first, you get better service. So one svara is, if you want to beat the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur rush, right? So you want to get online before everyone else. That's what the Koch Beor says. I think there are two other svaras, practical svaras. What I want to discuss later, I'm a little bit out of order, is that people make many, many Kabbalahs, and they don't keep them. And this is the idea we want to discuss, is how do you make a Kabbalah that you can actually keep? But working backwards, because I think we're starting with this topic first, why now? So this is very relevant to that question. Because by starting early, you're much more likely to have the Kabbalah that you'll keep. And there are two very important reasons for that. I think they're both very true. First reason is probably the most obvious reason, is that success breeds success. The biggest problem, I don't know if they're the biggest problem, but one of the biggest problems why we people don't keep their Kabbalahs, even if without the people would have trouble keeping their Kabbalahs, but especially is because of the yeshiva schedule, is that right after Yom Kippur comes Sukkot vacation, and as soon as Yom Kippur, forget it. And by the time the guy comes back after Yom Kippur, he forgot already all his Kabbalahs. So at least if you have a momentum going, you implemented it for a week, for 2 weeks, and it was going. So then you're more likely to remember it. If guy who just makes a Kabbalah on Yom Kippur, especially Yom Kippur, can't even write it down because he can't write. I'm ready to bet 9 to 10, whatever. It's not the right odds, but whatever. And probably much more, that by after most, when he comes back after Yom Kippur, he won't have to fog it. I asked him, what were you, Mikado? Oh, I don't remember. Good to you. I think it's some Kabbalah. So if you're doing it, so then you're much more likely to remember it. You also be much more likely to be excited about it because you saw it succeeded. Right? A guy who goes on a diet and he sees he loses weight, he's going to keep at it. Right? Guy just makes a kabbalah, I'm going to go on a diet, they never did it yet, he's much less likely to keep at it. So the fact that you started doing it and you have a momentum and you see, especially if you see it succeeded, is a very, very big force in keeping it going. If you wait to rush Yom Kippur, there's no momentum, you can't start, because then you're a Ben Asmanet. It just doesn't go Ben Asmanet. You can do things Ben Asmanet, but it's much harder. Even Yom Rosh Hashanah, it's just not that much time. So there is a Svarah. And the other Svarah, which I also think is true, is that without insulting anyone, what I think is true is that all of us, including myself, have no idea where we're holding. And many of our Kabbalahs are totally unrealistic. Either, we're mekabel something which we're not going to do. It's just not realistic. But we don't realize how. I remember a guy who was was very big, addicted, very heavy smoker. He said, if I wanted to stop, I could stop on the dime. Anytime I want to stop. I only smoke because I want to smoke. I'm not addicted. Yeah. Try and stop. We'll see you say that. Right? A person doesn't know when he's addicted. He doesn't know where he's holding. So sometimes people think they can stop on a dime and it's not so easy. And sometimes vice versa. People think that they can't do something, and really they could. It is easy. The example I would give is you have guys who've come from high school who never learned a word, and they come and they smash, and overnight they learn 3 siddurim. How'd that happen? Apparently, it wasn't really so hard for them to learn. They just never really bothered trying. So sometimes you can do, a tremendous change, and it just comes easy, because it was really not intrinsic. You didn't have a very strong yetzahara. And sometimes, even a small thing is much harder than you realize. So, in order to make a really good Kabbalah that's going to work, you have to know, is this realistic? The only way of knowing is sometimes by practice, by trying it out. So, I think I will discuss more, but I think that a person at some stage like this should make a few Kabbalahs, try them out for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, and then, come Yom Kippur, which one is working, and you say, okay, that's going to be my Kabbalah for the year. My big Kabbalah for the year, I tried out 2 or 3 for size, I see this one really works, this one goes, this one I can do, this one is enjoyable, this one I'm getting places, it goes, I'm so tzliach, I'm going to stick with this one for the whole year, But if you don't try it out, you'll make a Kabbalah or something which is totally unrealistic. Okay, anyway, that's why I'm sort of starting in the middle. But that's why I think it's supposed to, you really should start soon. So let's get back to the basic concept. How does one do tshuva? Right? So everyone knows, what do you need for tshuva? What are the three main ingredients of tshuva? Someone tell me.
What?
Okay. Yeah. Zirachet and Kabbalah are basically the same. So, very similar. So, we have three main ingredients, right? Harata, Vidoy, and Kabbalah Rasim. Now, there is, I always say this every year, I'm sure you guys heard already, but it's an amazing thing. There is a sefer written by the Mabit. The Mabit was a very early offering, I believe. You know, unless it was a Rishon, but I think it was an early offering, probably 1600s, 1500s, I don't know. So I think we definitely hold like him. He wrote a sefer called Beis Elokim. Shiva happens to have it. And he writes here an amazing thing. I saw it inside, but only because it was quoted. I think it was Aaron Cutler quoted it in his sefer. He says there that even though that there are two types of mitzvahs, there are certain, most mitzvahs, he says, there's no partial credit. If a guy puts on tzitzis that only has three corners instead of four corners, or, you know, not all the tzitzis, he doesn't get partial credit. That's it. It's not kosher tzitzis. If you wear tefillin and you have three batim out of four batim, it ain't tefillin, right? If you shake half a lulav, that's not a lulav. It's pasul lulav, forget it. There's either, in most things, it's either pass fail. Right? Now there's a durim, you pass it, you know. But there's either you did the mitzvah or you didn't do the mitzvah. He says tshuva is an exception to that rule. He says tshuva, there are millions of levels of credit, and there's partial credit, and even if you just do one without the other, you do harata. A guy says, I feel bad that I'm doing averis, but realistically I'm not going to change because it's too hard. So he has absolutely no kabbalah asid, just harata. Or harata without kabbalah asid, I mean kabbalah without harata. He says, whatever, there's partial credit. Now, partial credit is not even as good as half a full credit, you know. It's not, it's just partial. But there is something. He bases it on a pasuk in this week's parsha, just for the record. But it's not saying drushes. I'm sukkim. He quotes a drushes Iran that seems to say that there's in the parsha, there's two different levels he seems of doing tshuva, and therefore whatever it is, he has a riot. He says by Ninveh there's a riot that they didn't do full tshuva, they didn't do all the different part components, and still it says Hashem listened. It says they didn't return the Geneva that they stole. So whatever it is, he says that there is such a thing, because that's time a tremendous chizik, that there's such a thing as partial credit. Over the Maisa Mitzah Cheney, we don't want partial credit. We want full credit. Full credit means all three. So the problem is, harata, I don't want to say harata is evil, but harata to a certain extent, I think most of us, you know, we're in yeshiva, and we're in yeshiva because we want to be, you know, tzaddikim or better. Then both of us can feel harata, and we're not, you know. But I would love to be a tzaddik. I would love not to do averis. You know, so when I do an aver, I'm upset with myself. Now, maybe we don't feel strong harata, you know. We're not, you know. But something harata, I assume we have. So a little bit of harata is, I don't know if it's so difficult. A lot of harata may be difficult, but a little harata you can have. Vidui sounds like the easiest. You just, you know, vidui, you say, but, you know, vidui, just say it. But it seems that the hardest one, you know, I'm not saying harata, that the real harata is probably not so easy either, but at least some degree, is kabbalah wasa. Why is that the hardest one? Because kabbalah wasa does not just mean that you say, I'm the gavel not to do this. It has to be a real Kabbalah. The Rambam says the Farish. It has to be a Kabbalah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows, who's a smart, right, smart, knows that it's a real Kabbalah. Right? Now, here's where it gets tricky. That does not mean that if after Yom Kippur you find yourself doing the same Aveira, it proves that your tshuva was worthless, or you didn't do a Kabbalah. Because it could be that you really made a real Kabbalah, and the reason why you did a new an Aveira after Yom Kippur is not because there was something wrong with your Kabbalah, but just because a new Yetzer Hara came in, and you were nichshel, right? But very often, it is true. Right? The guy, I would say that if a guy finds himself, which many people do, that immediately after Yom Kippur, by Maariv already, or, you know, guy goes home after Yom Kippur, and Motzoi Yom Kippur, he's doing many things that he was Mekabel, he ain't gonna do. That sounds to me like a pretty good indication that his Kabbalah was not such a real strong Kabbalah. Maybe if it happened 2 weeks later, so you could say that, you know, I can't say for sure, maybe you're not, maybe was it just a strong Yetzer Hara game? So that's what they're gonna say. If John is, you had a Kabbalah that in theory could have held out. It isn't. You slipped. So it's a new Aveira. But if John is, it wasn't a real Kabbalah, it's just you lied to yourself, right? Very often people make Kabbalahs and they just lie to themselves. They're fooling themselves. I'll give you an example. We had a guy in Israel, that goes back many, many years ago. He had a problem with certain reading material or music that wasn't so kosher. He came to Israel, mamish, with a whole suitcase full of junk, garbage. Right? So we spoke to him, you know, it's not right. So I remember he comes to me after, you know, before Yom Roshana Yom Kippur, you know, you're right, I'm a Kabbal. This year, I'm not going to listen to this music. I'm not going to read any stuff. I'm taking all my stuff that was all over the room and being mapped through the whole yeshiva, and I'm taking it, I'm putting it in my suitcase, I'm locking it up in my suitcase. Okay. So I asked him, listen, that's very nice, but why are you putting it in your suitcase? Why don't you just take it and throw it all out in the garbage? To throw it in the garbage, you know how much that stuff is worth? When I change my mind, what am I going to do? I'm going to spend the money and buy it again. That's silly. So, it really happens. So, the guy is saying already that he's definitely, he knows for sure that he's going to change his mind. But he's telling me, he's boasting about how he made a Kabbalah, so he's not going to do it. I was the Kabbalah not to do it, you know. But of course, I'm not going to let you know. So that's not a Kabbalah. Right? So we are very often like that. We make Kabbalahs, and we fool ourselves. It's not now. If someone who is making it, if I would make a Kabbalah now, that for the rest of the year I'm going to daven with every word of Shmona Esrei with Kavana. Now, there could be for some people that's a realistic Kabbalah. For me, I don't think it's a realistic, you know, come on, you know, I know myself, I'm not going to do that. Right? If I'm going to make a Kabbalah, then I'm not going to be a battle a minute in Seder. I'm going to learn every minute in Seder. Right? Now, for some people, that's a Gabbalah, a Kabbalah. But for some people, that, you know, that's, you yourself know, come on, you're not going to stand by that. You're not holding by that. It's not realistic. I remember I heard Rav Shadron say, a person who makes a Kabbalah, I'm going to be a tzaddik, is a fool. Because you're not, you think you can just make a Kabbalah and become a tzaddik. You think it's so easy to be a tzaddik. All it takes between you and a tzaddik is one little Kabbalah and you become a tzaddik. You think that's how the tzaddik became a tzaddik? He made one little Kabbalah. It takes years of work to be a tzaddik. No, okay, I'm holding here. I make a Kabbalah, I'm going to be like the Chafetz Chaim. Not realistic. So, you know, maybe it is Shayach, you have a tremendous motivation, but you don't have that strong motivation. So the problem is like this. Now here comes the big problem. I say this every year. To make a Kabbalah, so what can I want to do tshuva. In order to do tshuva, I have to make a Kabbalah. But a Kabbalah is only a Kabbalah if it's a real Kabbalah. If I go ahead and make a Kabbalah that's just lying to myself, that's not a Kabbalah. So then, well, how do I do tshuva? So the answer, I think everybody knows the answer, but we'll say it again because we kind of explained the lumbus. The answer, they say, is to make a kabbalah on something small that realistically you can do. So the kashrus is small. But what about all those big avers? You know, I want to do tshuva on all my big avers. You tell me to make a kabbalah on some little aver I'm doing. Some little thing. Make a kabbalah to learn an extra 5 minutes. But I bought those 5 hours. Right. So there are many answers to that. And this is where I think you have to hear the answers, because it's not as simple as it sounds. And that the change group of Chan and Kabbalah. Those people that heard it last year, I'm sorry. There are three, I think there are three answers. The first answer, Rabbi Yisrael says, is that your Rabbi Yisrael writes this, that your biggest averis are the ones that you have, that they have the smallest nisayim. So if you mekabel something little, something easy, it's very likely that's where your biggest avera, because Hashem has the biggest tain on you if it's easy. Because why? If it's such an easy thing, why are you doing it? So when you do tshuva on those easy things, you really are very likely doing tshuva on your worst avera. So at least you knock off the worst avera. Okay. That's one partial answer. Doesn't really fully answer, but a little bit. The second answer, Rashiva used to always say, and it's a very, it's only, I think even a better, but whatever, each person, different people like different answers. Rashiva used to quote this from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. This was a famous ballpark star. We said this already, a different time. It says in the Svarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he judges every individual as an individual. But it also says in the Svarim that he judges people as groups, right? The Medinos, said the Farish, that there's such a sin as exarding on a Medina. Why should it be exarding on a Medina? He judges each person separately, right? The Farish and the Sanatokir. But there's Hashem judges people as groups. So it's very important to be in the right group, right? If you're in a group that's a bad group, then it's not just, there's a difference that they explain, the Chafetz Chaim explains that there's a difference how Hashem judges you. Does Hashem judge you with Midas HaRachmim or judges you with Midas HaDin? If he judges you, the Chafetz Chaim says, if Hashem judges a person with Midas HaRachmim, then you're almost guaranteed to get to be Zaycha, because Hashem is the greatest defense attorney. If he judges you with Midas HaDin, it's almost guaranteed you're going to flunk, because he's the greatest prosecutor. If he wants to get you, he can get you. If he wants to find the Moira Heter, he can find the Moira Heter. So a lot depends on how Hashem judges you. And how Hashem judges you, a lot depends on what group you're in. There are certain, if you're in the group, so to speak, of Tzaddikim, Hashem judges the Tzaddikim with Midas HaRachmim. The connected Midah, the Bawi Chesed, whatever that is, the logical reason is. If you're in the group of Rishayim, Hashem judges you, maybe Midas HaDin, and then you come out much more worse. So the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, I don't know how he knows, but Rabbi Yisrael says it, so that's good enough for me, that there's a group which is called the group of Bawi Tshuva. That's one of the groups. We don't know which groups they are. Do the group mean the people that live in North Miami Beach is a group? I don't know where the group is. You know, what's called the Medina? Do the people in the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva, the people in Miami? I don't know. I don't know who said, you know, I don't know what a group is. I have no idea what makes a group. Just because we're in this building together, we become a group? I don't know. But Rabbi Yisrael said that there's a group. All the people in the world that are doing tshuva are a group. That's what he says. And he says, if you belong to that group, your din is much better. You get treated much, much better. You get treated with a special midas harachmim. So in order to belong to that group, says Rabbi Yisrael, you don't have to do tshuva on everything. You just have to do tshuva on something. You have to start. So if you start tshuva a little bit, you get into that group. Now you might be the worst person in that group. And the worst person in that group might not be much different than the best person in the other group. But the fact that you're in this group and he's in that group, Rabbi Yisrael says, makes all the difference in the world. So that's the second side. You want to get into the group. Rabbi Yisrael says that the Shas Vatzchak Gadam, he says that even if you make a Kabbalah just to learn Musar, since learning Musar causes a person to do tshuva eventually, so that's like the first step. So you're ready, if you really made a serious Kabbalah to the Musar, you're ready to some extent in that group, but obviously, you know, make a real tshuva, so even better in that group. Okay. That's the second reason. But the third reason, I think, is the main reason. And this is what I believe very strongly, and I say this every year. And I think people, not everybody, maybe everyone here hopefully knows, right? But people in the world don't know this. I heard this from Rav Zuckerman, and I heard it from other people, and from Rashiva, the idea. But Rav Zuckerman said that there's a din that the Chafetz Chaim once at Ni'ida made the following speech. I'm not sure if he heard it, or he heard from the Chafetz Chaim, or he saw it in print. I don't know. We heard from other people. It happens to be brought down in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim HaTorah. I saw it later. But he said, you know, I assume that he heard it from him because he was a Talmid of the Chafetz Chaim. But he said the Chafetz Chaim at Ni'ida said, he made this, said the speech, that we know that in order to get Kabbara on Averis of Enodim Lechavero, you have to ask the person you did the Avera for Mechila. So he says, it could be that there are people in this room who realize now in Yom Kippur and through the inspiration of the davening that they did Averis of Enodim Lechavero and they would like to do tshuva on that. But they realize they can't do tshuva because they didn't ask Kabbara. So they give up. Listen, I want to get Kapara before Nida, while Nida, before the Yom HaDin. And there's nothing I can do because I can't go now ask Mechila. The guy that I heard was in a different city. I don't see him till after Yom Kippur. Because I won't be able to get, I can't, so why bother, so to speak, doing tshuva if I'm not going to go anyway? Now, you get partial credit, so it's not such a, but that was like people's feelings. So the Chafetz Chaim said, I got an answer for that. That if you make a Kabbalah, that after Yom Kippur you're going to ask the guy Mechila, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you credit now as if you did it already. Which means that even if you don't do something, right, it's an amazing thing. You asking for Mechila is Ma'akeh the Tshuva. If you make a Kabbalah to do it, it's as if you did it already. Which means, Rosh Hashanah said, Avshan and Nasa v'nishma, it quotes, Rabbeinu Yoina, Maisa v'me Chachmasa, whatever. Which means that a Kabbalah for the future gets a din as if it's done in the present. So it means as follows. You have to make a Kabbalah wa'asid. You don't have to make a Kabbalah wa'asid now. You can make a Kabbalah to make a Kabbalah. Okay, that's cute. Which means like this. I have a certain Averis, right? I have this thing. I go ahead and I have this very big taiva and I do certain Averis and I know I shouldn't be doing. Now, realistically, I don't think that I wish I could stop. I like to stop. I'm going to try and stop. But to be honest, I don't know if I'm really going to stop totally, fully, 100%. I don't know. I'm going to stop partly, 100%. I'll try. But you know what? I have a Kabbalah. My Kabbalah is that in 10 years from now, I'm going to stop. 10 years, I'm going to stop. How am I going to stop in 10 years? Very simple. Because I'm going to take the first step now. And the next year I'm going to take another few months I'm going to take the next step. Another few months I'll take the next step. And my assumption is that if I keep this up for 10 years, I don't know exactly because I can't plan, but if 10 years, if not 10 years, 20 years, but my assumption is that if I keep on moving forward, eventually I'm going to get there. So that is yoytzi. I don't say it's lachatchila, but in some extent, that's yoytze, a Kabbalah al-Osir for even the big Averis. Because I have a plan. And I have a 10-year plan. airplane. I have a way, a real theory, and it makes sense, and it really will work. You see, again, you see guys in the yeshiva, they learn for 10 years, they improve. It does happen. It's not Stam, a pipe dream. It's a realistic plan that makes sense. I'm not lying to myself. I'm not, come on, who are you fooling? You know, it's true. Now, it's true if I actually start with it. Like guys in yeshiva learned the yeshiva 10 years, and they're still doing the same things they did wrong. But if you're a person who's like constantly moving forward, then it's true. So you can make a couple, you say, I'm making a the way you're supposed to really do it is like this. You make a, you know, and this takes a little, I think, you make a little planning. You say, I'm doing this aveh, this thing wrong. I'm very unhappy about this whole matter. I'm making now, I have to figure out the first step, because unless I make a first step, I'm not going to get anywhere. So I'm making a first step that I'm going to do the following. That's my first step. Then, once I go ahead and I pass, that's the first step, because I go ahead and realistically, then I'll be able to build on my success and get to the next step. And eventually I'll have tshuva and did everywhere. So you get the advantage of making a serious kabbalah lesson now and something small, and a certain amount of kabbalah lesson on the whole thing. Anyway, just to go quickly, I wanted to say one other thing. What we're discussing is that one of the big problems of kabbalah or osid is to get a kabbalah that's going to stick. I'm running out of time, but I wanted to say another thing, which I also say usually. There's a famous Navarnik Marshall. The Navarnik Marshall is if there's a heavy train and it has to get over a very, very shaky bridge, and the train is too heavy for the bridge. So how do you get across the bridge? So the marshal is that you roar up the engine, you get the engine real strong, and then you zoom across the bridge. Ein achinami, the bridge will collapse, but by the time the bridge collapses, you'll be on the other side. Now, it's a nice marshal. What's the nimshal? So the nimsha was as follows, is that very often you have the Yesahara, which you honestly do not, if you think about it, you know, you don't have to, you don't think that you'll be able to keep it up, such a strong Yesahara, and your willpower is not so strong. Right? Your willpower is this shaky bridge, and your the Yesahara is, well, I don't know, maybe the train's the willpower, I don't know. So whatever it is, the willpower is real schwach, and the Yetzer is very strong. So what do? He says, temper for one moment, you can get yourself all excited. And then you zoom across the bridge, which means you should try and do a way that you are stuck. Like in my marshal, the guy who decided he's not going to read those material anymore, if he would have taken the material and thrown it away when he's motivated, so that even when his willpower runs out, he doesn't have what to read. And you have a much better mushroom. The guy has a guy goes home after yeshiva every night. He dorms at home, and every night he goes home and he watches television. And he decides, it's ridiculous, I'm wasting so much time watching television, going on the internet, there's things I shouldn't be seeing, whatever it is. So he gets all excited, and he goes ahead and he takes the television and throws it out. Or, if he doesn't throw it out, he tells his parents, take it out of my room. Or he tells his parents, put a coat on it so I can't go on it. Whatever it is. Right? So he does something. Once he does it, then even if his willpower runs out, he did it already. And it's done. So one of the tricks in acting kabbalah that will stick is to figure out a way that you're stuck after your willpower runs out. That's a very, very good trick. You can't do that with everything, but many, many things you can do. You can come up with if you're really motivated right now, you can think of an etza. You can make a chavrusa. Like I used to always do this. I wanted to learn Ben Azman, and so I would make a chavrusa, then I was stuck, you know. Even though later come Sukkot, I'm not going to be, maybe I'll run out of motivation. But before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, I made a commitment to this guy, I'm going to learn with him. So now I'm stuck. I got to live with him. Right? And of course, you make the time to be stuck. You know, you make it when, you know, when the best, biggest Yetzirah is on. You know, so you're stuck to learn during, you know, prime time television or whatever it is. Right? So whatever the Yetzirah is, everyone has their own Yetzirah. But it's a very good trick. The other trick, I guess I got to stop, is to write things down. If you write it down, first of all, it helps you crystallize the thoughts. When you write it, you crystallize it. But also, when you have it, so at least you won't forget it. Come after Yom Kippur, you can take out your paper, you can read what you wrote. And you can do it, really what you're supposed to do is write it down, and once a month you read it over again. So you have you remind yourself of your kabbalas. But, all right, that's also very good age. Anyway, the main thing is we have to try and make kabbalas that we're going to keep. Kabbalas that we're not going to keep is very shayach. It's not really kabbalas, and therefore it's not really tshuva. A kabbalah that we're going to keep, even if it's small, that's already real tshuva. So you need to come up with eitzes how to make kabbalas that we'll keep. Okay. Kaya.